This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Want to know another Snapple fact? The first hot air balloon passengers were a sheep, a duck, and a rooster. Ridiculous. Check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavored Snapple near you.
Hey everybody, it's Tony Robbins.
Hey guys, I'm Audrina Patrick.
Hey, this is Adam Carolla.
You're on the Hollywood Raw podcast.
You're watching Hollywood Raw.
You're listening to and watching Hollywood Raw.
This is the Hollywood Raw podcast, hosted by entertainment veteran Dax Holt and street journalist Adam Glynn. The podcast humanizing Hollywood. From celebrities to media moguls, even paparazzi and bodyguards have come to break news, break their silence, or just have a great conversation on Hollywood Raw. If they're on Hollywood Raw, there's a reason. From Page Six to TMZ, Daily Mail, and People Magazine, everyone is talking about the Hollywood Raw podcast with Dax Holt and Adam Glynn.
Welcome to the Hollywood Welcome to the Hollywood.
It is our first time, but we're gonna let you have another try at that, Adam.
Cam, delete all this shit.
We're not deleting it. You are playing that shit in there, Cam.
It's so bad, dude.
Cam, don't leave it out. Come on, Adam, one more try. Go for it.
Oh God. Welcome to the Hollywood Raw Podcast, Raw Rundown. Cam's our producer. My name is Adam Glynn. Over there is Dax Holt. We're two celebrity journalists, entertainment news journalists, have been covering the whole everything going on in pop culture for a long, long time. We've broken some of the biggest stories. We're not just two people gossiping about the news. We're two people that's actually making the news.
And then gossiping about it.
That was cool. That's a commercial. And then we gossip about it too. I'm on the East Coast. Dax is on the West Coast. Dax was just at BravoCon all weekend. I had a crazy weekend, which we could kind of get into. Are you back to yourself after BravoCon? Because I know that's like all day and night. It doesn't end.
It was nonstop. Like, I don't think I knew what I was getting myself into when Melissa called me up and was like, hey, you want to go? I was like, yeah, this sounds fun. I don't think I realized how nuts it was going to be from literally the moment we wake up to the moment you go to bed, because there's just event after event after event. And then we were staying at Mandalay Bay, and all the celebrities for BravoCon were staying at either Mandalay Bay, the Delano, or the Four Seasons. And if you know anything about Vegas, all three of those are attached together. So no matter where I went, like you go to the, I was in the bar at the Four Seasons, and it was like every housewife known to man hanging out at the bar. Like I walked down there and Teddy, what's her last
Mellencamp.
Name? And Teddy Mellencamp. How did that slip out of my mind? Teddy Mellencamp was down there. I saw Tamara down there. I mean, literally everyone was there. Then you walk over to the Delano, and it was like all the summer house people, winter house people. I saw the Shaw's of Sunset crew. It was just, no matter where you went, that was where. And so by Saturday night and then into Sunday morning, you saw that fans started to realize where they were staying, because now fans were waiting outside the elevators for people to come down or show up. It was a good spot to be, but nonstop nuts.
That's awesome. Were the talent, when they're not doing anything for BravoCon, when they walk around the hotel, do they have security with them, or are they just kind of free spirit? Yeah.
Yeah, just walk around. They had one like VIP entrance that would go from like an SUV would drop them on the back side of the Delano, and they could kind of walk through this back door that was roped off and straight into the elevator to go upstairs. So they could kind of sneak in, but most of them would come in that back door and then just walk over to the main bar lobby area and hang out. But no, none of them had security. They were walking around super just like chill, because there were so many of them that security would be out of control.
Yeah. I have two quick questions. Who was the coolest person of the Bravo celebrities you met, and who maybe wasn't the warmest of them all?
So I think Schwartz was probably my favorite. Tom Schwartz.
Why is that?
He just came across super down to earth, super cool. We ran into each other numerous times. He said he was down to come on the podcast, by the way.
Did you get his number?
Maybe.
Okay.
Yes. We exchanged information. How about that? Okay. But he was super dope. Who else was really cool? I felt like there was a lot of really fun people there. I got some weird vibes from Sutton. That was maybe the one person that I – was kind of like, this is weird, like Housewife Sutton. Not like she was a bitch or anything, nothing bad, just not necessarily like super warm, approachable, like let's hug it out kind of person. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I don't know how else to explain it. It just was like when I see Kyle Richards, we go in for a hug. And then when you saw Sutton, it was kind of like, hey, what do you need?
Yeah.
That's the only way I can explain. Not bitchy, just not like super warm.
Where people come up to you, because obviously there's the people like you, Melissa Rivers, Heather McDonald even, which I know you got to hook up with her and go to see her show. But do people come up to you at the event, where, you know, did people know who you were?
So yes, but like you got to realize I'm walking around with Melissa Rivers, and Melissa Rivers is legit like a celebrity. You know, people have known her entire life. Joan Rivers was one of the biggest comedians on the entire planet. And, you know, Melissa and Joan did Fashion Police for so long. So a lot of people, for me, they come up and they go, how do I know you? Why do I recognize you? And, but when you're standing next to Melissa, they're like, their focus goes to her. Yeah. So yes, I had a lot of people come up to me. Nothing compared to what it's like walking around a convention with someone who everyone recognizes. I mean, everyone. There was a point, so on Friday, we were doing whatever the hell we wanted. We were running around having a good time. On Saturday, though, she couldn't make it 5 feet, dude. Like, no joke. People were swarming her every 5 feet because they're actively looking for celebrities walking around there with all the housewives and all of that. So they were spotting her, and it was like the second one person took out a camera and she said yes, it was like you couldn't walk away for 10 more minutes.
Yeah.
It was nuts.
So now that you got to do your first BravoCon, was it what you thought it was going to be? Was it what you wanted? Was it what you imagined? Was it everything you wanted it to be? Was it a good experience?
So here's the thing. You know me, Adam. How many Bravo shows do I watch?
Zero.
Exactly. That was the problem. I think that I knew a lot of these people because we cover them, right? But I think that what I need to do is I need to study up a little bit more before next year's BravoCon just so I know more people. Like, I knew a shit ton of people because of they're just big in the news. But I'm wondering how many of them walked past me and I didn't recognize them because I don't watch enough of the shows. So yeah. I think to cover it again, I just need to involve myself a little bit more in Bravo to know these people's names. Because half the time I was like, who is that? Who's that? You know?
Yeah. I had
You did what? EroticaCon or what the hell was it?
Well, Friday was the at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn was the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony. Being inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame was Sheryl Crow, was George Michael, was Missy Elliott, was Rage Against the Machine, and a few others, Chaka Khan. And I got approved to go cover it, but I was only allowed to cover the press room. So when you go into the press room, which I found out, the way they had it was I couldn't even bring my camera inside. They had like what's that little thing, the stage, where the podium, where I guess when talent wanted to, whenever they wanted to, at some point during the night, they could walk behind there and talk at the podium. We can ask them a question. And you had to get there before 6 p.m. So I got there before 6 p.m. and I realized how stupid it was. I wasn't even allowed to go see the musicians perform live in the room. I had to stay in the press room. And it was like bullshit, dude. They were like, they wouldn't allow me to leave the room. They just said, they're like, yeah, you had to get here early just so you get a good position. But there was like 15 people in the room. I was like, guys, there's 15 people. There's no bad space. Like, we're all here. And they had like terrible turkey sandwiches for us to eat. So I was like, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to leave. And the security pointed me in the doors which way to go. And I started going I started going through the exits like to get out of there. And when the security wasn't looking, I kind of took a different turn and ran right into the arena. And I just ran, dude. I ran. And I got to watch the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame ceremony. I just stood on the side. I had a great spot.
Sick.
Saw Carrie Underwood perform. Saw Adam Levine perform because they did like George Michael's music. I mean, it was a pretty cool experience. You know, they don't do the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland because I guess nobody wants to go to Cleveland. They do it in Brooklyn, which is, I guess it's easier for media. But I did that. And then the weekend I went to the porn convention, which – That's right. A porn convention, not BravoCon, a porn con. And I go because it's so funny. I don't go for like the entertainment. I go like the women or whatever, the stuff going on. I go for like the people watching because it's so funny. I get press credentials, so I don't have to pay for a ticket. I've been going every year. It's actually how I got my job at TMZ, essentially. I made a video. At the time, I was working as a golf caddy. Some guys invited me to go to it who I worked with. I didn't have enough money for tickets, but I wrote a fake email to the people who were the press team of the convention. I said I represented a fake media outlet, and they gave me press credentials, and I covered the event. And I just go over here because it's fun. It's funny, and it's good for content.
Let me tell you, the videos that Adam sent me this weekend were so ridiculous, and people in barely any clothing getting spanked, hanging from the ceiling in weird swings. I mean, your life is very strange, buddy.
It's very strange. But speaking of strange, let's get into the Raw rundown. I know we got a lot going on here. Let's get into the top 10 stories. Dax, before we get to the top 10 stories, let's read a review.
All right. This one is 5 stars, comes from FB Sucks from New Update. And it says, not enough ads. Love you guys. So it says, I need you both to make that coin and put any sponsors or ads you need laughable for anyone to think it's wrong for you guys to try to make money off this. You two are amazing. Been listening for years now. You were my number one most listened to on Spotify last year and probably this year too. Thank you for making my work days go by smoother. Keep up the excellent work. She from the Facebook group. I love it. Thank you. We love that. Well, you know, if you remember, someone gave us like 1 star because they were like, oh, you have ads. And we're like, yeah, welcome to podcasting. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Of course we're going to have ads. Like, this is just the name of the game. So I love that they came out and said, of course, ads are where it's at. So thank you.
Yes. Thank you, Shi. Very cool. Very much appreciated. On to the top 10 stories of the week, because that's why you guys are here. Let's start with number 10.
Number 10, Ashley Benson is pregnant. Ashley Benson, you know her from Pretty Little Liars. She is expecting her first baby with her fiance, Brandon Davis. Dude, I'm not going to lie. I had no idea that Ashley Benson was with Brandon Davis.
Like it's been on for a little bit. Yeah,
I know. Once I saw this story, I was like, okay. And I started Googling. I'm like, how did I not know they were together? Or did I block it out of my mind? I don't know. You know, she's 33. I don't know how old Brandon Davis
is. He's got to be in his like young 40s. I'd say
44. 44 it said here.
Okay.
So they're expecting their first baby. They were seen at Baby List, which is some kind of like baby store, picking out clothing and articles for a nursery. But I got more fascinated that I didn't know that they were together. Like, when I think of Brandon Davis, I think of the fire crotch video, the famous Lindsay Lohan is a fire crotch. Like, he's walking down the street with Paris Hilton out of Hyde in Los Angeles, and he keeps saying that Lindsay Lohan is a fire crotch. That was him, guys. That was the guy that called her a fire crotch over and over and over again. He is now having a baby with Ashley Benson, which is hilarious. But he is from
– he's very wealthy.
Very, very wealthy. His grandfather was a massive oil – what do you call that? Billionaire or whatever. Tycoon, oil tycoon. That's what he is. Oil tycoon, Marvin Davis. And so Brandon is, you know, he's worth a lot of money. And so, yeah, good for them.
He's got a lot of money. He's one of those guys we've been seeing around Hollywood for so long. He's like one of the old school last generation of like fun entertainment. Like, you never heard him speak, but you always saw his face around like the party scene during the 90s. And they're not just together, dude. They got married.
Yeah.
They're married. No, you're saying like you didn't know they're together, but they're married. They're not just
happy. I did not know that they were dating. I missed the whole dating thing. I missed everything about them, which I just find so funny because Ashley Benson, I feel like we've talked about numerous times on the rundown, and yet I had no idea she was with Brandon Davis. By the way, can I throw in a 9.5 into this? Because there was a big story that broke Melissa Rivers being engaged. And I didn't realize no one knew when we were walking around BravoCon, no one knew she was engaged. She was wearing this giant rock on her finger. I actually – posted a little funny video in one of my recent posts on Instagram. She was showing me this diamond ring that's 5.6 carats. She's engaged to this Los Angeles attorney, but the news just broke. And I had hung out with him quite a bit this weekend. We went out to dinner. Very nice guy, like not in the entertainment sphere at all. Like none of his family are like into the Hollywood scene. And then he is now, you know, engaged to someone who is the complete opposite from Hollywood all the way. It was just a funny union, I think. But yeah, that she was showing off the ring. And now I'm seeing all these articles on People magazine and Page Six and New York, like everywhere that Melissa is engaged. So I just wanted to throw that in there as well.
All right, cool. I got a quick Ashley Benson story. Years ago, it was a Friday night. It was a nice night. Ashley, I got done with the workout. Cause you know, I gotta keep that body in check. You know what I'm saying? And, I'm just kidding. So I get done with the workout and then all of a sudden I parked right next to the Bowery Hotel and they used to have this bench outside the hotel. And I saw this pretty blonde girl sitting on the bench and I was like, you know what? I was kind of like getting my gym bag sorted together and I sat next to her on the bench and she was like on the phone FaceTiming with someone with someone. And I didn't even look at the girl. Next thing you know, these two people come over and say, "Hey, Ash, how you doing?" They say hi to her. I don't even look up. I'm like just like playing with my gym bag. She's talking to people. "Hey, how you doing? Good to see you." And I'm looking down. As I'm looking down, I'm like, "Hey, nice to meet you." And it's a hand in front of me. And my name is Justin. I look up. It's Justin Bieber. And then I look to my right. That's I realize crazy. The girl I'm sitting next to is Ashley Benson. And Justin Bieber is with Haley. And I'm sitting next to Ashley Benson. I'm like, "Oh, what's up, Justin? I'm Adam. Nice to meet you." I'm not with her. I was just hanging out. I was just, you know, but nice to meet you. And then like I got brought into the conversation because it was just awkward. Like, "Hey man, nice to meet you. I'm just a guy sitting on a bench." And like we spoke in a conversation for like, you know, 3 minutes or so. And then they went into the hotel. I was like, "Hi, Adam, nice to meet you, Ashley." And then I kind of walked away. And then
you should have just got up and walked in with them. You're like, "Yeah, we're all together now."
I thought about it, but then all of a sudden, like 20 minutes later, they were like in and out of the hotel and I ran into them on the street. And I go, "Hey, Justin, can I take a photo with you?" Like, no one's going to believe this. Like, "Yeah, sure." And I have a photo. It's on my Instagram. It's me, Haley Bieber and Justin Bieber. So it's a good shot, the two of them.
That's pretty cool.
All right. That was my stories. Number nine.
Kim Zolciak's husband, Croy, being ordered to surrender his Rolls Royce after failing to make payments on his very, very expensive set of wheels there. So basically, he's been ordered to surrender that Rolls Royce. I guess there was a lawsuit from BMW. There was a default judgment that was entered against him after he stopped paying payments on the vehicle almost like a year ago. And then failed to respond to the repossession lawsuit. And so the judge ruled in favor of BMW, according to a bunch of documents obtained by TMZ. And so this is just one more thing to add to the list of their mounting bills. So I guess what happened was he was supposed to make payments of like $5,000 a month on this vehicle over the course of 36 months. So the total would be $190,000 for this vehicle. But he stopped making payments back in like September of 2022. And so, you know, they've now listed their house up for sale, which is a $6 million mansion, which I think they overpriced it. If I remember reading the stories correct, it was a little bit overpriced. But like you think back about all the things there was like a $230,000 credit card lawsuit against them. There was, there's an interest payment of a couple $100,000. I mean, it's just like mounting bills over and over again. And I got to think, how did they get so deep? Was it just trying to keep up with the Joneses essentially? Like you're on a reality show, you're trying to be a housewife, but you need to keep up the look of a housewife and the income isn't coming in. How did they get so far behind?
Listen, the hardest thing in Hollywood is be famous with no money. And you never want to live, what do they say, just for investment purposes. You don't want to live. You want to live
beyond your means.
Beyond your means. So, I mean, that's really what it is. They live in a very nice part of Georgia. And, yeah. You know, that kind of cars, like, you know, cars like that, I think, I'm not a car guy. They, you know, they lose their value. They're like, they don't gain value. So it's just, it's a wild way of living. Just what they're doing and not making the payments. And what were the payments a month you said?
$5,000 a month on this. So it was 190 total that he was going to be forking over for it.
Yeah. That's so, is it sad or is it just like
bad financial choices? Yeah, it's, but I think this is pretty common, you know, people getting in over their heads in credit card debt. And I mean, it's, it probably ruins a lot more people than we hear about. These two just happen to be famous and in the spotlight.
Yeah. I mean, listen, they're working it. I don't know, Croy, I think he still receives an NFL pension, but again, those bills add up. $5,000 a month just for that car. It's not practical. It's, at what point do you feel like, hey man, you got to get yourself out of the hole? At what point should you be like, rather than having like the people, the government kind of come after you, at what point do you start to sell some of your assets, like the Rolls Royce, which is something like that should have been sold months ago.
It should have been sold them. Yeah.
Now the credit's ruined.
People don't want to give it up. Yeah. Don't want to give it up. They want to keep trying.
Good luck trying to get your, you know, with their next house purchase or get anything with, because their credit must be, I would love to see their credit score. That should be the next thing. Do your credit.
Can you imagine?
EBay. That's a TV show.
Credit score is going to be 20, literally just 2-0 at this point.
Yeah. All right. Number 8.
Matthew Perry, I guess, being buried next to some other very familiar faces at Forest Lawn. You know, this is, he was laid to rest near Debbie Reynolds and Carrie Fisher, obviously Carrie Fisher from the Star Wars movies, and Debbie Reynolds, obviously famous in her own right, but also near Michael Clark Duncan and a couple other big names, which was interesting. TMZ did this whole story about how the family quickly removed a lot of the flowers so that maybe it would deter fans from going there too soon. I just thought that was funny. I'm like, you actually spotlighted it more. So, of course, now people know where it's at and they're going to go find it, whether or not the flowers are there. So I was like, well, that kind of didn't exactly do the trick that I think the family wanted. But, yeah, it is what it is. People are going to find it anyway, I think.
Do you know where this cemetery is exactly?
Forest Lawn? Oh, yeah. So it's like,
is that the
right
one
where
in Pasadena?
You know where the Warner Brothers lot is, right? Like where Ellen used to film?
Okay.
Basically kind of right behind that. So in between like the Warner's lot and the like the backside of the Hollywood Hills is this huge cemetery. And that's where this is at.
Is it the one near Dr. Drew's house?
No, that's that. There's another one over there. That's the one.
That's where Michael Jackson's buried, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's two Forest Lawns very close to each other, but this one is the one where a lot of celebrities get buried.
From what I saw the photos, it looks like a beautiful cemetery.
It's gorgeous. I mean, again, it's full of celebrities, rich people, everything. And this is in like a gated little area, really nice, beautiful spot. But yeah, it's pretty common to have celebrities in there.
Dax, random question. The cemetery where Michael Jackson's buried, and even this cemetery, anybody could go in there. Correct?
You can get so far, I believe. If I know this correctly, like where Michael Jackson is, I think it's inside, I don't know if it's a mausoleum or whatever, but I don't know if you have access to get inside unless you are supposed to be inside, whereas this one is kind of outside, so it's open air. It does have a little gate, but like you could hop the gate if you really wanted to get in, you know what I'm saying? Like it's a gate, it's not really
stopping.
I think
that could be very interesting for people just to go. For example, like when people go to Hollywood, they want to go see the Walk of Fame, and the Walk of Fame is so
correct.
Gross.
But they have
so nasty.
They have like dead Hollywood tours. But on that note, they're going to take you to the Hollywood Forever Cemetery because I think that place like accepts tour buses to come in. Whereas Forest Lawn, I don't think they're going to be like, "Come on, tour buses, come on in, parade around here."
Yeah, it's kind of like. Yeah, it's a slippery slope. If you were a tourist, would you want to go see where I get a celebrity? It's more like interesting to see celebrities like gravestones, but I don't know if that's a thing that I'd really go out of my way.
I'm not into the gravestone as much as I think I'd rather be like, oh, this is where, it sounds super morbid. This is weird talk, but like where they died. Like if I go to Chateau Marmont and they're like, oh, this is where Jim Belushi died. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, oh, wow. Like that's crazy. Or, you know, I don't know, that stuff to me is a little more interesting than just seeing a gravestone.
You know, again, now we're starting to ramble a little bit, but just my, I'm just starting. The room where John Belushi died at the Chateau.
Yeah, I said Jim, didn't I? John Belushi.
John Belushi died. Jim's the brother. He's doing well.
He's alive.
John Belushi.
He's hanging
in there. John Belushi died at the Chateau Marmont. I have to imagine it's in a room. Are people allowed to still stay in that room? And if you, yeah, are people warned before, hey, by the way, that's the room where John Belushi, passed?
I'm sure that that room's open because I'm sure there's been a lot of people that have died in those rooms over the years, in total honesty. So I'm sure that you can stay in that room. It's going to sound really weird, but I looked up this weekend because I was staying at the Mandalay Bay and I was just curious. I'm like, do they still rent out the room? Like, remember that guy who like went on a shooting rampage during the Route 91 concert, whichever concert it was, 91, right? Route 91, Route 51,
yes, something like that. I know.
Went on a rampage and I was just like, that seems like I would be really upset if I was put into that room. So I looked it up and they closed down that room at the Mandalay Bay. They will not rent that room out. So I was just wondering, and I'm sure that happens a lot over time. If there's a famous room, I'm wondering if like the Whitney Houston room at the Beverly Hills Hotel, do they rent that one out? I don't know.
Interesting.
Cause there's a lot of weird people that like creepy shit like that.
Dude, by the way, this is random off topic, but I'm going to throw this in there. I just got a text message from Billy McFarlane from Firefest.
Yeah.
And he's starting a Firefest 2.0 and they're doing a kickoff this weekend. He invited me to go to the kickoff and it's a, they're going to pick you up in a car. They're going to bring you to a plane and do one of these no gravity things where there's like zero gravity and you go for a zero gravity flight. And then there's a party after. I would love to do it. I just can't do it this weekend. It just sucks.
Dude.
But zero gravity. That's it. That's not.
Yeah.
Cheap.
But this is screaming Firefest again.
What a way to go out, huh?
The crazy shit that he did last time to get publicity and like, and then it all crumbled. I don't know.
That'd be pretty cool.
Careful,
I don't know.
Careful who you become friends with, homeboy.
I know. Trust me. I'm not cool. I wish I was cooler. Some cooler people. I always become friends with them on the way down. Like a Cuba Gooding Jr. It's like, oh, now you want my number?
Yeah. This has been a long downfall the whole time. That's why we're still friends.
Oh, God. Exactly. All right. Moving on. Number seven.
Obviously, we got to talk BravoCon because I feel like every website I go to, it's all about BravoCon, about all the revelations, the shows that are coming back, the ones where they were picked up. So, you're going to see what got renewed this year would have been like The Real Housewives of New Jersey, Below Deck Mediterranean, Below Deck Sailing Yacht, Summer House. All of those will be returning. Million Dollar Listing, Southern Hospitality, Summer House, Martha's Vineyard, Top Shelf. Again, do you know how many celebrities that is? How the hell was I supposed to know all those people while I'm walking around?
Yeah.
They obviously played the teaser for Vanderpump Rules and then Lisa Vanderpump kind of like talked a little bit about Raquel leaving Vanderpump Rules and her exit. Ramona Singer, if you remember, we talked about the fact that she was not allowed to go, but her daughter showed up to BravoCon, which people got a lot of people's eyes bugging out of their heads for that. What else? We saw Tom Sandoval.
A lot of things
with
Mauricio. What do you think was the biggest story of BravoCon? Like, I feel like your Twitter, your algorithm, or X, whatever, is taken over Bravo stories for that weekend. What was the biggest story of the weekend while you were there?
I think it was probably Kyle officially considering her and Maurizio divorcing. Like, she had never said divorcing, and then she said it during a red carpet interview, and that blew up. And then she started crying on stage, talking about how difficult it has been over the last couple months. So I think Kyle got probably the most attention. Don't you agree?
Yeah, apparently Kyle's husband, Mauricio, has a net worth of $100 million. They don't have a prenup.
Well, I think that's pretty common especially if that started at nothing for both of them, then yes, they worked together and made $100 million. So yeah, there's no prenup because they didn't have anything when they first got together.
Yeah, they've been married for 27 years.
or in reality, she was probably worth a lot more money when they first got together because she's from the Hilton family, you know? So
what is it like? I mean, you were like in the inner circle backstage, or the press, the media, all the other castmates, Bravo people. Are they all talking with each other? Like, hey, is Kyle going to drop the bomb about Mauricio? No. Like, what's it? No one says anything.
No, I think everyone's so into themselves and worried about themselves and hawking their own merchandise. And Bravo has them on such a strict schedule where they're like literally running from like room to room, from appearance to panel to whatever they have to do. Like it is, they're nonstop going crazy. It was funny. We were recording, we've got an episode coming up this week where we talked to Katie and Malia from Winterhouse, and Malia came in and she was literally scarfing down soup out of like a foam bowl that she was like, I barely have had food. I'm eating this on the run because they've got her doing a million things. So that's the reality of it. I think that they have a lot of fun, but I think it's a lot of work in a very small window for these Bravo celebrities.
Do you think Bravo paid them extra to go to BravoCon, or is it part in their contract? Like, hey,
no, I think they get paid. I just don't think it's a lot.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I think they definitely get paid for it because it's an extra gig, and they're flying everyone in. But I think there is payment associated with it because it is an appearance fee kind of thing.
Interesting. All right. Well, that's BravoCon number six.
Number six, Andy Cohen asking CNN to allow alcohol for New Year's Eve broadcast. If you remember, him and Anderson Cooper, they do the the ball drop essentially for CNN every year, and they've been under a lot of criticism because they both get pretty wasted and say dumb shit. They went after Ryan Seacrest one year. They've dissed some of the other network, or you know, they're like, oh, if you tune into that network, you're not missing anything. Blah blah blah. So CNN was essentially like, I think we're going to do without alcohol moving forward. And Andy's goes, no, please, please let us have alcohol. We need to have this. And I do agree to a certain aspect. Like, that's what makes them fun on that show is the alcohol that they're drinking, right? Like, they're saying crazy stuff that is getting a lot of attention. I think CNN should be leaning into that and just keep fueling them up, because how much publicity are they getting off of that show because these two dudes are getting drunk?
You got to remember, that's also for the network that's doing it. It's CNN. It's not Bravo doing the Raw Run, the New Year's show. It's
the New Year's
CNN.
So, okay. So good. There's another fair point. Why doesn't Andy take it to Bravo? Maybe they won't let Anderson Cooper leave CNN, but that would be brilliant. Why doesn't Bravo have their own countdown and they have a bunch of drunk people running around being Bravo-ish? I think you would probably get more people tuning into that than on CNN.
That's what it should be. I think it's a good team. They're personally, they're friends, Andy and, what's his name?
Anderson.
What are we talking about? What's his nerd name? Anderson Cooper. Anderson Cooper and Andy, yeah, bring it to Bravo. I think Bravo could be really fun. You could bring in other people, like the Bravo stars. Obviously, as you know from being at BravoCon, there is a big community. You know, I'm not sober, you know, mm-hmm. and not like I have an issue or anything, but I don't know of other people who do have an issue with drinking, because it's just something that they don't feel comfortable with. They have an issue with seeing that. But maybe the drinking doesn't fit the CNN format. With that said, do I personally enjoy watching Andy and them having more fun drinking? Yeah, I do. I think it's fun to see Anderson Cooper out of his shell. But maybe CNN should just really drop out of the New Year's broadcast.
Yeah, I say, Andy, take that to Bravo. All right,
yeah.
Let's move on.
Number five.
Number five, Timberland apologizing for some remarks that he had earlier this week. So he went on, he did this like interview on stage at the Kennedy Center. And he basically was talking to the interviewer, and he said, you know, he was asked about Justin Timberlake and all the stuff that's come out in Britney's new memoir. And his comment was, I want to just call and say, JT, you got to put a muzzle on that girl. that didn't go over so well with a lot of people. A lot of Britney supporters just started slamming him on social media saying, what the hell are you talking about? Why would you make a woman not say her truth because it may be uncomfortable for a man out there? Like, shut the hell up. And so they began slamming on him on social media. He then went on to TikTok live on Tuesday and basically insisted that he was sorry to all the Britney fans and also to Britney herself, basically saying he should not have said that. He said, you know, you have a voice, you speak what you want to speak, and who am I to tell you not to speak? He goes on to say, I was wrong, you know, for saying that, but I hope you see from it. I was looking at it from a different lens, and that I am a reconciled person. I don't know what that means. I am not a person who takes sides. Blah, blah, blah. Sorry. Again, what a crappy thing to say. Put a muzzle on it. Like,
saying muzzle,
you know, Britney's been muzzled for the last 20 years of her life. Let her speak her truth. I find this whole book that she's saying very interesting. I like hearing from her point of view. So don't say that.
Yeah, it's a poor choice of words. I mean, I don't think he was really thinking about it, but of all the things that came to his mind, says muzzle. And I'm like, ooh, that's the one thing you don't want to say. I understand where he comes from. It's just the choice of words.
Well, because he's looking out for his boy, Justin. Sure. And just like, I think a lot of people will be like, oh, God, Justin. But on that same note, you know, that's the reality of the life that Justin has set up for himself. So yeah. Let Justin be the one that has to take the fall for his life choices. Why are you getting involved in that?
Amen, sister. Let's get number four.
Patrick Dempsey finally being named People's 2023 Sexiest Man Alive. And, you know, he kind of joked about this. He's like, I can't believe this is happening. I've always been the bridesmaid. but basically being, you know, very appreciative of finally making that, because for so many years when he was McDreamy on Grey's Anatomy back in the day, like, people kept pushing for him to be on the cover, and he just never really landed that spot. So he said, you know, I'm glad it's happening at this point in my life. You know, he's 57 years old now. He said, it's nice to have the recognition, and certainly my ego takes a little bump, but it gives me the platform to use it for something positive. He said, you know, my kids are going to make fun of me. They're never going to let me live this down. They are going to poke fun and poke holes and everything that is a reason that I shouldn't deserve it, but he is very appreciative of it at this point.
When is the last time you actually read a People magazine?
Like a physical copy?
A physical copy.
Well, you got to realize I've been in a lot of doctor's offices recently, so that's the only time I pick up. Good.
For some people that didn't know, you see, tell them what happened. You have a little bit of something going on your shoulder.
Yeah, so I basically had a bit of a funky mole. I didn't realize it was a funky mole. Someone, my brother-in-law, pointed it out while I was wearing a tank top. He's like, hey, what's up with your mole? It looks really weird. And I was like, it looks like the same I've always noticed. Like, it didn't look weird to me, dude. And he goes, I think you need to go get it checked out. So I made an appointment with my dermatologist. They took like a little, it's like a cheese slicer, essentially, cut off the mole, sent it in, came back as positive for melanoma. And so it kind of kicked off a bunch of things. And I had to go get a massive chunk of my skin on my shoulder removed. And I mean, it was let's go like an inch and a half by an inch and a half. Like, that's how big this circular was, all the way down to the muscle. Took it out. This was about 4 weeks ago at this point. So I don't know if you guys have noticed, if you've watched any of the latest episodes on YouTube, I had this massive, big, you know, bandage on my shoulder for the last couple of weeks. I wasn't really wanting to talk about it because I was waiting on test results. They send in that skin, plus I had a couple lymph nodes removed under my arm. They send those in because they want to check and see if any of the cancer cells has made it down to the lymph nodes. Once it hits your lymph nodes, it can spread through your body very quickly. So I was waiting on those test results to see where I was going to be at mentally. I got everything back. Everything is positive. They were able to get rid of everything from my shoulder, nothing in my lymph nodes. So I posted that news on my social media or on IG the other day. But it's just been a lot of recovery. I got my stitches out today, dude.
Oh, nice. See? How many stitches were that? Oof.
There was like 40 or something, but it's kind of hard to see.
It's somewhat.
It's like a giant kind of like backwards question mark. But yeah, I finally got my stitches out. My mobility is a little bit better. But I tell people if there are moles, birthmarks, sunspots, anything that starts to change on you, look funky, the coloring is darker on one side than the other, that it looks asymmetrical, go get it checked out. Yeah. Skin cancer is very, very deadly, and I don't think people realize how deadly it can be because it can spread through your body and go to other organs so quickly. That people don't understand the need for going to a dermatologist and getting it checked out. And after I posted the Facebook post, an Instagram post, the amount of people that said, I just booked with my dermatologist. I'm so happy to hear that because, you know, give it a couple more months, this could have been something that took me out for good. So
yeah,
I'm very happy that my brother-in-law pointed it out and we got it checked out and got it out as quick as possible.
Yeah. Thanks. The real hero of this is your brother-in-law. I mean, you were just the middleman, but your brother-in-law.
It's true. He told me, he said, get that shit checked out. And even my dermatologist, he was like, buy your brother-in-law beer. He saved your life.
It's pretty crazy.
What have you done for me lately, Adam?
Let's see. I think I booked us the Bella Twins on the podcast. Maybe, does that help you out physically? I don't know.
Nice.
I think they're coming on the podcast.
Yeah.
All right. Let's keep going. But again, friend, I'm glad you're doing well. Number three.
Thank you. Number three, Britney Spears. Her childhood home in Louisiana has been put up onto the market for a whopping $1.2 million. The funny thing is it actually features some like old relics of Britney when she lived there. There's a mirror in one of the bedrooms that has a bunch of Britney Spears stickers on it. It has an NSYNC sticker on it. It's got a couple things, but I think the biggest selling point is there is a door inside this home that literally says in black marker on it, Christina sucks, Brit rules. And they have that up on the Keller Williams website that is selling this home. So of course, oh, and outside in the concrete, there is also like Britney's name written into the concrete. So they are really pushing hard to sell this as like a piece of pop culture history. If you want to own this home, you know, that Britney Spears' first home, come stop by. But it's a 3-bedroom, 3-bath. It's 2,200 square feet of living space. It's on 1.87 acres. And it's Britney's childhood home. So I can see some people picking it up. I mean, the door alone, I feel like someone needs to grab that door and put it into like a museum because that's freaking hilarious.
Let me ask you this. The house itself, and I don't know, we don't know this. Is it like a $400,000 house, but because Britney lived in it as her childhood home, it's now this it's $1 million home or what?
So the home was sold back in 2021 for $289,000.
Oh my God.
So I don't know.
$289,000 home.
But there has been quite a hike in, you know, real estate. But I think what's really making this one as expensive is the little Britney factors that they're trying to capitalize on. Because you can't add $1 million to the price tag in, you know, 2 years. But you add Britney's name to it, you know, maybe it just becomes a lot more lucrative to someone.
The way the housing market's going now, I could see some big company, corporation coming in, Airbnb in it, and saying, hey, you want to stay a night in Britney's home?
Yeah. And then you... And you put like some kind of acrylic over the door so people can't mess it up. You put acrylic over the mirror so people can't mess it up. You know,
you make like a Britney Spears tourist trap.
Why don't we do that, Adam? Do you have
$1.2 million? Yeah. I don't even know if we can do this. I'm making fun of like, wait, the price was $270,000 before? But yeah, no. But I could see someone doing that. They buy the house, maybe not for that cost, but they buy it for a little bit less and they make it into a big Airbnb tourist type thing.
Smart. Beautifully smart.
Maybe, okay. If I'm the first one to think about that, I am a genius. If not, then very well, then I'm probably. Because it's like, number two.
It's a good idea. The Hollywood strike is officially over for SAG-AFTRA, the Screen Actors Guild. They announced a deal with the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers. This has been going on for, 3 months already? This has basically longer. Crippled Hollywood. Yeah, that's crippled yeah. Hollywood. It was first the writer strike, then the SAG-AFTRA strike. The writer strike did end back in October, so the writers have been feverishly back at work, writing, and now they can actually attach some people to their series, their scripts, all of that kind of stuff. It sounds like, you know, a part of this deal, you're going to now immediately see people out promoting a lot of their projects. So you'll see them on the nightly shows, you'll see them on the morning talk shows, and they'll actually be able to talk about projects once again. I did see quite a few celebrities post about things that they haven't been able to post about in the last 3 months, finally actually posting about him on social media today. You're going to see streaming services and cable networks have a much longer lead time for their shows, though, because of this funky time frame. With everything going dark for so long, you're going to, in a couple months, we're going to start seeing like this lull in new programming as we kind of like get back into the groove of stuff. Other than that, movies may be a little delayed, probably not too much because a lot of them were kind of still coming out with just going, hey, we're just not going to have promotion, but you got a lot of programming coming up in the next couple months. You've got, I don't know. You got a lot coming out. And then what else can I talk about here? The actors can go back to that. Here we go. Here was the big deal point. So a part of this, the deal points were the use of artificial intelligence and digital replicas of actors. So that was one of the big deal points that I guess they got across the line. Compensation for actors based on streaming performance of their shows and movies, and basic pay increase was part of that because of inflation. So in an announcement that SAG-AFTRA put out, they said a deal of extraordinary scope that includes above pattern minimum compensation increases, unprecedented provisions for consent and compensation that will protect members from the threat of AI, and for the first time, a streaming participation bonus. So this is a really big deal and a big win for everyone in Hollywood.
Yeah, the actor strikes have been like taking over Manhattan the last few months. It's funny. You go into these lines and you're thinking, once in a while you see a celebrity there. I'm surprised from the whole strikes that were going on the past few months, there was some notable good celebrities that did take part of the strikes. I saw Adam Sandler. You know, you saw some other pretty big names out there being a part of the strikes. But I'm actually surprised there wasn't more of the bigger names out there being on the protests.
I think they got strike fatigue. I think people were just kind of getting over it. And here's the other thing you got to keep in mind. A lot of these people have been off work for 3 months, and now we're heading into December, which is a dark month for a lot of production. So I don't know if people are going to go, well, screw it, we need to get back to work. So like we're working into December now, or they're going to go back to work for a couple weeks and then be shut down for another month. I don't know what's going to happen.
This does really help out not just the actors. It helps out the people in production because no one's talking about those people. Because the actors are striking, there's a lot of people in production and from the other unions that weren't able to work because they couldn't settle over this. So it's nice that those people get work, and I don't think those people's jobs were being spoken up enough. I do think it's kind of wild that, again, some of the bigger celebrities weren't part of the picket lines to bring more awareness to it, where these guys who were on the picket lines were essentially fighting and using their time to really save their career, to help out their career. But honestly, if you went by a lot of these picket lines, there's no way a lot of these people who are actors have worked in the last 40 years. I'm telling you, man, a lot of these people look like they haven't worked since their middle school play. I'm telling you, they needed work because these people look in terrible shape. all right, that sounds terrible, but I mean, whatever, it's true. All right, Dax, the number one story of the week.
Number one story, Kourtney Kardashian and Travis Barker had their little baby. So news broke this week that they that she gave birth to a baby boy. There was no like announcement yet of the name. That is at least at the time that we are recording this. But they did hint a little while back that they planned on naming their son Rocky 13 Barker. I don't know if that is the case. I don't know if they followed through with that, but that was something that he said while filming a podcast a few months ago. And yeah, if you remember, this is when she announced that she was pregnant at a Blink 182 concert a while back with holding up the sign where it seemed so staged and ridiculous. She did have some trouble during the surgery or during the pregnancy where she underwent urgent fetal surgery. If you remember that, he had to leave his tour at one point. That surgery did save the baby's life. So I'm going to assume that this is like a little miracle baby here on the planet, thanks to that surgery. But yeah, this is their first baby together. Obviously, both of them have a couple children from previous marriages.
Travis has old kids. Like, his kids are over the age of 18. So it's going to be, you know, this kid's what, maybe 19, 20 years old, roughly. So when they're 40, they're going to have a 20-year-old half-brother.
Yep.
Cool, I guess. Interesting. You know, how old is Kourtney?
Kourtney is 44. And he is 47.
44 years old having kids. Wow.
Yep.
Good for them. Good for them. Travis is the man, dude. You know, Kourtney is like one of the more conservative, maybe not the warmest of the Kardashians from my experiences, but Travis is just a good dude. Travis is like a great guy. And I think he showed what kind of person he is in the last, I don't know, we see what kind of person he is when
since you know why it's or with it's funny. Kourtney. He is really one of the nicest guy. It's his appearance that I think gives him this like bad boy image where the tats on his face, the tats on his neck, the tats all over his head. People look at him and instantly like, oh, he's trouble. Really one of the nicest guys out there.
Dude,
though.
He's so nice. He's just like a nice, genuine person. And it's, you're right. The first look, you could be a little intimidated by him, but super talented, obviously, but what a nice guy. Happy they're happy. You know, props to him to probably change his schedule a little bit to make sure he was around during these last few days. Cause I know they've been on tour. They've been doing a lot of shows lately for Blink 182, but, another person to their Kardashian family, the show just makes itself now. Somehow it really this does. Family is just gold when it comes to content.
Ridiculous.
It really is. But all guys, right. that's our raw rundown. That's our top 10 stories of the week. Next year, we'll probably be at BravoCon again. I'll probably open up a halal stand somewhere there and just do halal. And follow us on TikTok, Facebook, Instagram. We have a private Facebook group called Off the Record, which you guys should join. It's a really cool community. Follow me at Adam Glenn. Follow Dax Holt at Dax Holt. And we'll see you guys next week.
Goodbye.
A Huda Media Production.